Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome back to Too Smart for This. I am so happy because guess what? By the time you're listening to this, I will be pretty much done with my first year at Wharton, getting my MBA, which you've heard about ad nauseum over the past couple of months. And I'm really excited to give you a recap of everything I've learned all in one place. I really am excited for this episode because this is something I wish that I had before I was starting out. I felt like there was no resources about like what it was really like at Wharton from the perspective of someone like me who is a young woman and someone who's an entrepreneur and someone who is also really social. I feel like a lot of times we just don't get to hear that perspective. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys today about my whole Wharton experience. I did a Q&A on Instagram. If you're not following me on Instagram at Alexis Barber, you're missing out. And don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram, Too Collective, as well. That's also where you can see our fabulous robes here, which is the business that I've been working on while I've been at Wharton is Too Collective, which is a modern lifestyle brand that fills every part of your self-care journey with our content like here on the podcast, as well as through these innovative self-care products and in future years, hopefully even more amazing self-care items for you. So I'm really excited to jump into this. So here's how I want to structure today's episode. I want to go through five categories that are pretty important, and there's a ton of questions that I got from you guys here on Instagram that I'm going to go ahead and sort of put into each category. So I'm going to go over academics, clubs, travel, social life, and entrepreneurship, and then I'm going to answer some questions that were pretty commonly asked about time management, managing relationships, and what I'm looking forward to in my second year. And then the end of the episode, I want to talk to you guys, if you are coming to business school in the fall, I want to give you my guide for everything that I would do over the summer, the products I would buy, and what to do if you are starting business school. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the five areas that I'm going to review for you. The first is academics, and I've been chatting about academics with you all on TikTok. I did a review of my first and second semester classes on my TikTok at Alexis Barber, and so I wanted to just point you there for longer little things about how all of my academics are, but the overall gist on academics is that business school is very unique in that we have something called grade non-disclosure. And grade non-disclosure means that you do not have to disclose your grades to employers, potential like employers after you go to Wharton. So technically your grades don't matter. And that means that a lot of people think of business school as sort of this like partying type of thing, which it definitely is, because you don't have as much pressure on grades as you would in another grad school like the law school. I have friends who are in the JD MBA program where they're getting a law degree and an MBA degree at once, and they can't afford to have less than an A on their transcript or else their job might be taken away. As opposed to if you get a banking offer from Wharton, they're never gonna look at your grades, so it doesn't matter what you got, as long as you stay afloat. So I think that that was overly emphasized to me before coming to Wharton and before coming to these schools. And that's what was really frustrating to me, because I came in thinking I would have enough time to do all the social stuff and run my business and run my influencer business. And fast forward, as you probably can tell, I didn't. So for a couple of reasons, academics were a little bit downplayed to me. And so I thought I could sort of do it all, when in reality, there's a time commitment there, and you are coming to business school because it is school for all that matters. I mean, people would say on Reddit, on the MBA Reddit, which I think can be a crazy place sometimes, and would say to you at like admitted students things and be like, oh, whatever, like you don't even have to go to class and all this stuff. And I do think that may have been the culture of business schools a couple of years ago, especially coming out of the pandemic. However, in my case, and before the pandemic, there was like great job market, so it was a lot easier. Whereas here now, I don't know that that's the case. So it's a little bit difficult to manage academics on top of having a full-time job and a business. I think it's important to note that you can spend as much time or as little time as academics as you want. I have a friend of mine who went to an HBCU. He really wants to transition into finance from a different background. And so he focused really heavily on academics because he felt it would be necessary for him to transition into the industry he wanted to go into. And then I have friends who are entrepreneurs like myself who don't care if they get a C in a class because they are focused on their own business. And then I have friends who just want to do well because they like to do well, and there's scholarships that are awarded if you do well here. So it's up to you how much you emphasize academics, but let's review the actual courses and how they went. So you have to take core courses. Obviously, that's probably about like half of the courses that you're going to be taking, and those are usually going to be the majority of your first year. And then there's another half that are probably electives, and that will go into your major. So that's probably standard at most business schools. I do know every school teaches things differently, but that's sort of the status here. And Wharton is known for being a very quantitative, finance-heavy school. So that's honestly one of the reasons I chose Wharton, is because that was where a lot of my gaps were. I majored in political science and then went into marketing and strategy. So I wanted to have something on my resume that showed I am also very like quant and finance, like ready to go. And so that is something that really colors the way that we teach most classes here at Wharton. So it doesn't matter if you're in a marketing and strategy class, there's going to be numbers. You're gonna have to run some numbers. And I was really scared of that. I want to emphasize to you guys, I was the most scared of that you could possibly be. Like, I have never been confident in any finance or any math or anything. Like, it's something that was a really big gap for me and something I always have felt insecure about. And I've still been able to manage things here. So I want to give you that and be like, you can do it. And I changed my mindset about my quant and finance side. And instead of saying, I'm so not good at that, I'm not great at that, I started saying, I can learn new things and I can do this. People have done it before, like, I've got it, you know what I mean? And so it might take me a little bit longer, or I think I can grasp concepts, but then I might have like gaps because I don't remember calculus, you know, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. You absolutely can. So that being said, a lot of the courses are quant heavy. So we take statistics, microeconomics, marketing, and management are core. Like, you can't change that schedule in your first semester. And all those classes except for management were quant heavy, and I really didn't love them. They weren't helpful to me, but you know, you have to take them to say you got the degree here. And then outside of that, I've taken a few different electives, and I'll give a shout out to a couple that I really liked. One was negotiations, which is a class where you basically are negotiating for the entire class. So you'll come in, you'll be handed a piece of paper that gives you a scenario, and you'll be randomly matched with someone else in the class. You go into a study room and you both have different information, and you are negotiating to get what you need out of that situation. So it would go from one-on-one negotiations to group negotiations to negotiations in arbitration negotiations. And it was just so helpful because obviously it's annoying to sit in lectures all day. Like, we got to do something more engaging. And so I really liked that. I also liked a class called Strategy and Competitive Advantage, which really helped me think about what sets businesses apart and how to make sure that you have something that can't be replicated by other brands, because if it is, then it's not a good business. I also took a venture capital and entrepreneurial management class, which I thought would be more about the management. And this class, by the way, boring. Absolutely. I really didn't love the professor, but it taught me a lot about actually figuring out evaluation, figuring out how to maintain, you know, your stock and things like that over time. So I really did appreciate that class as well. So with that being said, there are core classes that weren't great, but you can't really change that. And you have to remember that, like, you're in that for a reason, and pick and choose which ones you want to dedicate your time to. For example, I'm in corporate finance right now, and that's something I wanted to just kind of understand better versus my micro and macroeconomics, which were like, I'm not really going to use this, but corporate finance, I feel like I can apply into my career. People were asking, I got a couple of questions about what my study routine is and how I manage academics personally. So for me, I like to do things in a sort of organized way. I also know myself and I know how I study best. So I'm a morning person. I do my best writing and I do my best learning from the hours of like 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. And after that, I don't really do super well with, you know, like doing a project or something like that. So it's really important for me to have those mornings to myself, which means a lot of times I need to be in bed by 10 or 11 so I can wake up and do that. So it's important for you to know yourself and know what your routines are. Also, every class is going to have a different amount of studying that you need. So For example, in my corporate finance or in my economics or my statistics classes, we would have like lightly assigned reading, and then we would have 5 to 6 problem sets throughout the course of the semester. So you don't really have to do the work until it's time for the problem set to be due. And that's something I would like to work on in groups with people, because it's easier for me to sit down and do it and then have someone explain it to me and then explain it back to them. Those are things that are really helpful for me. And then when it comes to writing papers and stuff like that, that was something I would do on my own, usually like in the morning. But when it comes to like a study routine, what I know I need for myself is that I have to be out of my house in a place with great natural light, with a coffee in the morning. And so I found those places for myself really early on and looked and created that routine around studying and where to be and when. I also made a conscious effort to only work on schoolwork during the week, and I tried to really work on schoolwork while I'm on campus so that when I'm home or when I am focused on other things, I can focus on being an influencer when I'm in my house and I don't have to think about academics, or I can focus on, you know, working on my business while I'm at home or when I'm not on campus. So really making campus my place where academics are the center, and then making the rest of my spaces where the rest of the things in my life are the center. So I can give you a little bit more about that in the time management section later on. But the main takeaways that I want you to get from this academic section are that, one, you decide what matters to you and how much time you want to put into academics, but you should definitely budget more time than you expect to get acclimated to the rhythm of academics earlier in the year. And three, ask for help. I think the professors that we have at these schools are here for a reason, and they are illustrious, amazing professors. The one thing I wish I did more over the past year is go to more office hours and build more connections with professors. I think that can be really, really valuable, and that's something I'm really excited to take into my second year. And my takeaways personally that I am taking into the second year, a couple of you guys asked what I'm excited to take next year. And since most of my core classes will be out of the way, I'm really excited to dive into my major classes. I've chosen to major in strategic management. You don't really have to define that until later into your senior year or second year. But I really love our strategy classes. That's something that I just really love so much. A lot of people are like, why don't you major in entrepreneurship? And I do think majoring in entrepreneurship makes sense for someone who doesn't already have a business, because you can go through the ideation stage, the launching stage, and the marketing and the scaling stage all within the courses in the entrepreneurship curriculum. But for me, I didn't feel like a lot of those were really applicable because I had already launched my business, and it's more like the strategy and the operations that I feel like I need to hone in on and learn more about. So those are the classes that I'm going to be taking and trying to get things out of. Three that I'm really excited for are legal aspects of entrepreneurship. That's something that people have really, every entrepreneur who graduates says is like their most important class, because the legal parts of running a business are not always talked about. The second is retail and supply chain management. One day, I obviously want my products to be sold in retail stores, and supply chain and all that stuff is something that I really want to understand, and I really enjoy that type of thing. And finally, a couple of global strategy classes. So I didn't understand the importance, or I wasn't as excited about the importance of global strategy prior to coming to Wharton. But after taking one of my like core courses in it, I really started to understand like how important it is. And I'm someone who loves travel and loves internationalism and wants to be in lots of different markets. So I really am excited to take that class too. So now we're gonna jump into clubs and social life and travel. So these kind of blend together a little bit, because clubs at Wharton are sort of what makes up your social life and makes up your travel. So at Wharton, there's tons of different clubs. There's everything from the ski club to the venture capital club to the, you know, technology club to the beauty and the retail club. There's tons of different clubs. So I want you to keep that in mind. As soon as you get to school, you have a club fair, you join these clubs, and they are the ones who are putting on the parties. They're putting on the networking events. They're connected to all of the different firms in that industry. Like if you want to go into corporate real estate, there's the real estate club. You would join the real estate club. They're hosting lunches. They're hosting conferences with the corporate real estate people. And they're hosting, you know, get-togethers for other people interested in real estate. And they're also sending you those job listings in an email blast every single week. So when it comes to your career, clubs are very important. And when it comes to your social life, something like the ski club is the ones who are planning all of the ski trips throughout the year. And so they are going to be hosting the ski party to kick off the year. They're going to be hosting our trip to Europe for skiing and all that type of thing. So whatever you're interested in, you're going to join that club and basically be a part of bringing it to Wharton in a social format, in a travel format, and in a career format. So they're a pretty big deal at Wharton, and I joined a bunch of clubs, and every student, you will probably do this too, a ton of clubs thinking that you would be able to make a golf lesson and a boxing lesson in the same week and also go to a party and also travel. Like, it's very difficult. So I would, if I were you coming in, index on 2 to 3 clubs, maybe 1 or 2 that's career, 1 or 2 that's fun for you, like just a hobby, and 1 or 2 that's like a recreational activity that you genuinely enjoy. And then on top of that, you'll probably have affinity clubs. Like there's the Black Club, the Women in Business, the Asians Club, all those two types of things. They all will fit into your life in some way, shape, or form. But these clubs are really central to your experience here. That's something I wish I would have done more research on and decided what I wanted to do earlier. But I do think I have a unique situation because I already had other things that I needed to do outside of Wharton. Whereas clubs for people who maybe don't have that and are recruiting formally are going to be a bigger part of their experience. And I'm not like on any leadership positions in any boards or anything like that. But I am someone who like loves like the clubs, and I love that they put on parties and stuff. Because clubs run trips, social events, and conferences, they are a huge part of our experience. And now I want to touch on how they impact travel. So at Wharton, there are 3, or I guess there's 4 types of travel. The first is Wharton-sponsored travel that you get class credit for. So Wharton's really unique in this because we have these really amazing opportunities to travel. So these are called GMCs. And these GMCs, you will get a half credit unit. And it's basically a week-long course that you're taking when you travel on that trip. So for example, this trip that I really am dying to go on is a luxury retail and branding trip that takes place in Paris in over winter break. And it's a week-long trip. You have to apply into it. You get to, you do lectures and you do projects with these professors that are leading the trip. And then you also get to do really cool things like visit Hermes and have a talk with the CEO of Hermes. You get to go to LVMH and do a tour of everything there and learn how that conglomerate fits together. You get to go to Van Cleef and learn about the jewelry side of things. And so it's really all about that retail and luxury experience, and you have to write a paper and all that type of thing. But basically that's like an example of something where you're learning and you're getting course credit, but you're also traveling. One other type of Wharton sponsored travel, which are leadership ventures, where basically Wharton has relationships with these different opportunities to travel. So a couple of my friends will do these over breaks. So they go to the desert and they have a leadership venture that's co-led by like second years who've already done the venture. So there's the desert one, there's Quantico. You can go do Quantico, like the FBI training for a weekend. So there's things like that that are more focused on like your leadership skills. And then there is club travel. So that's technically affiliated with the university where, for example, I went to South Africa in the fall, and that was put on by the African Students Association. And they basically organized this trip. There was a set amount of spots. You bought a trip package and then you bought your own flights. And then once you got there, you were with the group on this official trip that was like that they put on. They had figured out like your itinerary and all that stuff. So it was a really amazing trip. And so that's a really great way to meet new people, be connected with people. And then there is personal travel. So at the same time I was in South Africa on that formal trip with about 50 other students, about 100 other students shadowed that trip, and they basically went on a trip to South Africa the same time we were there, but they planned it themselves and they paid for it themselves, and it wasn't affiliated with a club. And so there's that type of thing where people are shadowing larger trips, which I will probably do in when I go to Japan for spring break next year. But there's also trips where you do want to be on that official trek because it's put on by someone who's from there. Like the India trek is put on by Indian students. And so you want to be there and like hear from them about their culture because they know how to show you that place the best. That being said, the personal travel is also important and super fun. So to give you a overview of what I did for travel this year, and I didn't do the most by any means, but I also definitely did a lot. I went to the Poconos for Labor Day, which was like, it's like a trip that you just like do in the beginning of the year with people you've met. South Africa with as an official trip. I went to Miami for Harvard, Stanford, Wharton. We do this Black students trip every single year. And this year it was in Miami. I went to Colombia. We went to Cartagena and Medellin, which was, it's a huge first year trip. It's 400 people. Huge, it's so much fun. It was over Thanksgiving. And then I went to Miami for Art Basel because one of my best friends here is really into art. Her mom is a really accomplished artist. Shout out Lisa Butler. And so that's a really, it was like a great experience. And it was also my birthday. Then I went to Euroski in Austria, which was so cool, honestly. I don't ski, but that was where I met a ton of people that I wouldn't have otherwise met. And I tried skiing, and it's way cheaper to do it in Europe than the United States. And then I went to Black Ski in Park City. Black Ski is something for all different grad schools, all of the different MBA programs. It's put on by Tuck. And so we did that in Park City. And then I went to Miami again as a personal trip for one of my friend's birthdays. And next week I'm leaving to go to Mexico for 2 weeks at the end of the school year as well. And then I'll go to Switzerland and France over the summer and then come back and have a whole new travel schedule. So that's sort of what I did. It is a lot, 100%, but it's absolutely worth it because I will say this every time. Travel and trips is where you build the best connections. And this is where you build you get new connections because there's someone new on the trip always. You have a shared experience with someone and you get to experience a new country or continent. And I think that when you're on campus and you are usually in a routine where you're hanging out with the same people, unless you're like forcing yourself to like get out of your comfort zone, you fall into a routine and it's very natural to end up hanging out with the same people because we all want to be around our friends. Trips are where you're out of your comfort zone and you're able to form bonds with people in a much deeper way. So I think that if you're going to decide where to spend your money for business school, trips and travel should definitely be a priority for you because that's where you build connections. That's my opinion. You don't have to take it. That's how I feel about it. But it's super expensive. So you got to figure that part out. I mean, that's why I've stayed working during business school is because it's expensive and I want to be able to go on the trips, period. So this all forms and talks a little bit about social life. Social life here is definitely interesting. I think there's two phenomenons that are a little crazy, which is one, a lot of these people, the average age of a business school student is 27 and 28. I'm 25, so I'm way younger than a lot of these people. A lot of my friends are 30 or 32. And there, at that age, I think there's like a pressure for women to settle down. There's this situation where men are finally in a place where they're confident and so they don't want to settle down, which creates tension. There is a lot of people who come here and they are either peaked in high school and are trying to relive those glory days, or they've never been like, quote, cool before or had fun before. And so they all are sort of like projecting insecurities onto other people. I think that like any place you go, there's going to be a mix of insecure people, a mix of people who are weird, a mix of people who you don't like, a mix of people who are come off like crazy to you. And there's also the combination of all of this with a ton of different cultural differences. So that being said, my philosophy for social life here at Wharton was, if I meet you organically and I like you, that's it. Then we can be friends. If I don't, I'm not gonna force it. I'm not gonna try to network because you worked at some random company. I'm gonna form organic connections based on people that I like. And that's been my philosophy and that's what's worked for me. And I have made incredible friendships that are absolutely worth every penny of going to this school. And I've also met people who I'm like, what? How did you, who are you? Like, how did you get here? But that's rarer. So that being said, that's sort of like social life. It can be dicey, but then I always remember, and I think because someone asked about this as well, like how do you balance friendships old and new? Because I am so grounded and I had my two best friends coming into school, they really keep me grounded and they keep me feeling like, okay, I can do this because they are there for me whenever I need them. And they remind me like, hey, this is not the real world. And I also know I will always have those two best friends no matter what happens in this context. So having that was really, really helpful and a really great way to stay grounded throughout this place because it's a simulation and everything is crazy. Finally, people asked me about entrepreneurship and I had a business, or I have a business. I have a business and I had it before coming to Wharton. A lot of people come here and they start new things, but I had it before. It was revenue generating and I knew I was going to take a break on sort of like the product development piece and the marketing piece so that I could really soak up my first year. And that's unconventional because if you have a business that's doing like well and making money, you probably just want to like give all your time to that. But I knew I needed more support and more direction and I wanted to use my first year for that. So I did that. And I think in the first year, I have learned that business is hard, not at Wharton, or it's been hard for me to run my business at Wharton, not because of Wharton, but because it's hard to be a woman in business and in consumer products and in content generally. Nevertheless, like obviously, and I'm black too, you know what I mean? So it's harder because a lot of times people only take businesses seriously that are AI or whatever because that's the hot thing right now. Or because I didn't start my business at Wharton, I'm not eligible for a ton of different grants and stuff that we have here. So there's been things, roadblocks that I've run into, but I also feel like I've learned so much that I can later apply to my business that it's going to be really helpful. And in my first year, I really soaked everything up. And now I feel like in my second year, I can use business school and all the resources that I've observed so far to really take my business to the next level. And a few ways I want to do that are through every class that I have, I want to be thinking about it from the framework of my business. So I had one class, for example, that was my marketing class last semester, digital marketing. And in that class, you had to learn, you had to like grow an Instagram during that time. And so I got my group together and I said, let's do it for the Two Collective Instagram. And then I had more thoughts and resources and help with that during that time. And I want to do that in every class. Like if I have a project or if I have case studies or things that I'm writing about, applying it to my business is super important. And that's what I would do if you were a new entrepreneur coming here. And then secondly, engaging with those professors, like I said before, like bringing them a business problem that I have and asking them for feedback on it. I took a class this year that was public speaking for entrepreneurs, where you basically are perfecting your pitch deck. And my professor, before this class, I had always felt insecure about my business subconsciously at Wharton because it's a consumer girl-focused business. And that's not always taken seriously in the business context. But this professor was like, you have so much traction, you've done so well, you have customers, you have PR opportunities, you have like an amazing, you have partnerships, like why are you downplaying yourself? And he's really pushed me to pitch on campus and be more out there with my project. And I think leaning into those professors and those resources is something that's really something I need to do more of so that I can get more out of this experience. So that's sort of the things I would do as an entrepreneur. It's hard to work on it and it's hard to make time, but it's just a priority that you have to decide if is going to be your priority, which leads me into my next section about time management, friendship balances, and what I'm looking forward to for year two. So let's talk time management. People ask me about this all the time. I have these questions. How did you balance your academics with your trips and fun activities? What worked well your first year? Like, how did you balance everything? Blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna tell you something. There is no way to fully balance and have a comfortable, perfect routine when you are in grad school. You are managing social expectations, existing family expectations, academic, social life here. You're managing, you're trying to get a new job. Most people are coming here to recruit, so they're managing recruitment. You have to prioritize what matters to you, and you're still never gonna feel like you got it all done. There's so much I feel like I should have done this year. I feel like I was a terrible influencer. I feel like I was a terrible sister. I feel like I was like, overall, like I was terrible to my body because I was drinking 5 days a week. Like you make trade-offs. And that's the truth of the matter because you're here to get things out of this place and you can't always give yourself everything you need at that time. This is 2 years of your life you're never gonna get back and it's such a unique and special experience. But that doesn't mean that I'm gonna be the healthiest girl in the world that whole time. I'm not going to answer everybody's texts the whole time and be able to maintain my friendships with everyone in New York, my old work relationships. I'm not gonna be able to get the best job if I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I'm saying things as if, you know, like I talked about this with my friends the other day because they were talking to me. They were like, Alexis, we feel like you are really hard on yourself because you have influencer work, which is way more time consuming and no one else has that. And they're still complaining about academics and work. And I also have this business I'm working on. I also went through a breakup at the beginning of the year, was learning how to date for the first time, and not to mention just like being an adult and like taking care of yourself. I am very hard on myself, and if you are going to one of these schools, you probably are too. So it's really important to remember that like it's not always going to be balanced. It's not always going to be perfect. So with that being said, here's a few ways that I did it. One, going back to my priorities, always prioritizing what matters most to me. For example, right now I'm here recording this podcast and working on my brand deals rather than studying for an exam because that's what's making me money right now. And that's where I'm putting my time and energy when it's limited. Secondly, I made a decision that one of my priorities at the beginning of the year was to have as much fun as possible and to meet people and to do things out of my comfort zone. And that's been something that I have prioritized, you know, like having fun. And so that means I don't always, you know, that I'm sometimes hungover and sometimes I'm being irresponsible and spending too much money on a trip. That's fine because I decided that it was going to be fine for this year. And then finally, I have great systems and I know myself really well and I know how I work. And that way I can be more strategic with the way that I take on projects or don't take on projects. So it's impossible to do it all. It's all about prioritization. And you also have to really know yourself to be able to manage your time super well. So someone asked, what's an average day or week in your life? Like how do you, what's your like routine there? And so here's the tip. I share my vlogs pretty much on my TikTok all the time that have timestamps. They basically are like, come with me. They're like, we're on FaceTime. So you can go check that out. It's in the playlist Wharton Vlogs on my TikTok. Basically, in an average week will sort of look like this. Monday through Thursday, I have classes. There's no classes at Wharton on Fridays, which is a godsend. And so I have class. And so on those days, I'm waking up early most mornings and I'm either working on content or two collective stuff, or I'm doing academics. So I'm writing a paper, or I am shooting podcasts, or I am doing like a problem set or something like that. And then I have class. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would have class starting at 8:30. So I'd have to go straight to campus and do things all day on campus. And then there would be days where I'd have class starting at noon or starting at 10:15, whatever it is. Basically, I would be working on my own stuff or doing my homework in the mornings, going to class. And then typically after class, I would do something social. So usually on Monday or Tuesday, I don't have a planned social event, but come Wednesday, there's usually a dinner. On Thursday, there's usually like group dinners with your friends and then going out. On Friday, you don't have class, so that's a good day to either like figure your life out, chill, travel somewhere, whatever it is. And then Friday night, people don't typically go out, usually like stay in, but sometimes there is a big party. Saturday, another day of like having fun, socializing, or like for me, it's like content, doing work. And then Saturday night, people typically go out. And then Sunday, reset day, where I am either hungover with my friends or I am getting my apartment together, grocery shopping, whatever for the week. And then it all starts again on Monday. So there's typically 1 to 2 nights a week where I'm not seeing anybody and I'm home alone, which is something necessary for me. For other people, they might want to socialize every day and they have the capacity to do that. But then come like, I typically will go to an impromptu dinner with a friend or have like, or spend the night with one of my friends or something like that. Like actually like hanging out, doing something like, let's just all go to dinner. And then there's also sometimes like formal events that you're going to. Now, I would say pretty much every month, there's 2 to 3 big like Wharton parties or events, like starting with White Party and then going into our most recent one was Fight Night, which was like a big like Penn-wide thing. Though there's usually a big event like that where everybody's going to it. So there's lots of big social events too. And so I'm typically going to one of those. And if not, then I'm also traveling. So I would travel. I've traveled like at least monthly over the past year. So I would definitely say that like that's somewhere in there too. So sometimes you're recovering from traveling, sometimes you're not. For me personally, because I'm still an influencer and I have a lot of business that I do in New York, I would go to New York. I go to New York 2 to 4 times a month, honestly. Sometimes I just go for the day for an event. Sometimes I go for the whole weekend and I hang out with my friends there, go to stuff there. I love New York and I can't wait to be back for the summer. So that's a little bit about time management and what life looks like here. Now I'm gonna jump into what I'm looking forward to for my second year. I get this question a couple of times and I honestly think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is just feeling like I have my footing now. I feel like because my life actually did a 180 as soon as I got here, because the first week of school, I broke up with my boyfriend. I was entering this new like city, I was entering this new academic environment, and just sort of new me. And I, like, through a series of chaotic events, lots of therapy and reflection, and a whole lot of crying and relying on my friends, I've really feel like I've come into my own a little bit more, feel way more confident, and feel way more clear on my direction. And that's what I'm most looking forward to for this upcoming year, because I know what classes I want to take, and I know how I study. I know who my friends are, and I'm excited to be with them and to make new friends. I know where I want to travel, and I know how I travel best, and I'm excited to do that. So I'm really looking forward to this upcoming year. And someone also asked me, what am I doing for the summer? So I am going to be working on Two Collective and on my influencer business over the summer. I am going to be in New York. I'm moving there middle of May. We'll stay until the beginning of August. And I'm going to be basically doing my own internship that I'm creating for myself. And I'm excited to share that content with you all. And then I come back in August because I am a leadership fellow here at Wharton, which is a program where you are basically selected to be a leadership fellow that is welcoming new students into school during our first year, or during our first thing called preterm. Essentially, you're a TA for the first class that we take, which is a week-long simulation-based management class that's taught by four really illustrious professors, one of which is Adam Grant. And you are in this class where it's like 3 hours of lecture a day and then 3 hours of the simulation a day, which is this proprietary simulation of business crises that you have to solve with your team of six. And it's something that like only Wharton has the rights to. It's like a really cool situation. You write papers about it, you learn about your leadership and your teamwork style, and it's a really great class. So I'll be a TA for that. And what comes along with that is that you get a cohort of 80 students that you are basically leading during that month, along with four other students. And so if you're coming to Wharton in the fall, I might be your LF, your leadership fellow. And so I'm really excited for that. So that's what I'm doing all of August, because it's a big time commitment. And that's my big, I think, thing I've contributed here. I'm not on the head of any club or like the president of any club or something like that, but I am a leadership fellow. So that's what I've been doing there. And then if you are an incoming student, I want to talk to you about how to prep for coming to Wharton. If you are headed to business school or grad school or anything like that this upcoming fall, here are the things that I would do over the summer. Number one, I would research. I do think that you can't really prepare for what you're going to experience when you get to this, to whatever, wherever you're going. But you absolutely can do all the research that you need to do to get the best out of it. So I wouldn't research too much and over-index on where to live or what to do or whatever, but I would over-index on knowing your curriculum and your academics really well, understanding what clubs you want to join and how you want to contribute to those clubs. Do you want to be the president? Do you want to be the head of alumni relations? Do you want to be the treasurer or something like that? How do you want to interact with those clubs, and what do they really do that would help you in your career? And then really figure out what you want out of your career and what you want to learn about yourself and create priorities accordingly. So if your main reason to come to school is for networking and social connections, you have to realize you're probably going to be giving up in other areas and figure out how you're going to do that. And how are you going to be doing this networking and social connections? Are you going to be hosting dinners at your apartment and inviting random people? Is it going to be more of throwing big parties on campus? Like, what does that really look like to you? Because I always said, oh, I want to be social. And for me, that's just meant going to parties and hanging out with people. I think you can put something, a sort of goal around that, that's going to be a little bit more helpful for you. So you can say, hey, did I do this when I got to school? Or like, how can I more clearly over, like, make sure that I'm getting out of this what I want? And then I would also research the professors and the academic opportunities at your school. Make sure that you are connecting with them, trying to get in there, going to their office hours, things like that, so that you can really get as much out of this as possible. And three, most people are going to business school or to grad school or whatever for a career reason. I was going with a business, so I speak from that perspective, but if you're coming to recruit for consulting or to recruit for banking, you should start studying for those types of things now, because it's going to be way harder once you get to school. So really clearly understanding what you want out of your career and making a plan to get that is going to be really, really helpful. Those are the three main things that I would do for when it comes to academics, clubs, and social life and career. Research that beforehand and have a clear vision of what you want, because everyone says, oh, grad school, you get time off, you get time to reflect.
you don't want to be, you're going to be reflecting so much because you're going to be getting a lot of new information while you're here, but you need a baseline place to start out at. It probably will not be where you end up at the end of this, but you need something to guide you through. Otherwise, you will just be sort of like a blob of information. I have my friend Rebecca, who's going to come on the podcast later this month. She came to Wharton thinking she wanted to go into energy and move to Texas after graduating and focus on sustainability. But ever since she's been here, she's sort of learned that that's not really her passion anymore, and she would rather be in the beauty industry, and she just landed an amazing beauty internship for this summer, and she's majoring in operations because she didn't know how much she liked operations before. So it's like so much can change in a year, but you do need somewhere to start so that you have somewhere to guide you. The next thing I would do is meet up with people who are going to school. I wouldn't make this a huge priority because you're going to be with them, but I went on a trip with a bunch of MBA students before coming, and it was really nice to be able to come into school knowing people and having someone to like say hi to, you know what I mean? So if there are people or connections that you can get before you go to school, I would prioritize meeting a couple of people. But I also don't want you to over-index on that, because my third point is that I want you to enjoy where you are right now. You're never gonna have this time again. And it's really important to spend as much time with the people that you love before you move and uproot your life and go to a new school. So definitely do that. And oh, what a crazy time it's been. All right, a few product recommendations that I haven't been able to live without before we wrap up the episode that I would recommend if you're coming to school. Someone asked me about clothes and business, like clothes. I bought way too much business clothes before coming here. I like to dress a little smart casual on a day-to-day basis, like jeans, a nice top, but I also have a lot of athleisure that I wear to class. The first few months you're gonna wanna wear it, like look nicer when you go to school, like skirts, dresses, jeans, that type of thing. And then when it gets cold, you're like, I'm not putting on real clothes, I'm wearing sweats to class. So, but the thing is about business school is that you might get to campus and one of your favorite entrepreneurs ever is speaking on a panel at lunch. You don't always want to show up looking like disheveled. So I still wear sweatpants, and I do this series on my TikTok that's like how to look put together all the time. And so you can still wear sweatpants and look put together, but I would really say that presenting well and having a great, like being well-groomed, having a great outfit, like really representing yourself with your personal style, looking appropriate at all times is something that I would really emphasize, because you never know what's going to be happening on campus, and you might end up going from school to a lunch to a panel with your professor to dinner to going out. So keep that in mind. But unless you're recruiting heavily for like a super corporate industry like banking or consulting, you don't need a ton of business clothes, because there's a couple of business casual events in the beginning of the year and throughout the year, but you won't probably need like 5 to 10 good business casual outfits, not pieces, but outfits, and you'll be okay if you're not doing heavy recruiting. Now, tech. I would get an iPad or a Microsoft Surface Pro and also have a laptop if I were you. Most of us are taking notes on some sort of tablet in class because most professors don't love like you having your laptop out, but writing notes by hand is annoying. So what I do is I have an iPad, I download the slides for whatever lecture I have, and I take notes on those slides in OneNote. Or did I say I have an iPad? No, I don't use an iPad. I use my Microsoft Surface Pro. And that one also doubles as a laptop, so if I need it in class to do something in Excel, I can do it right there. So I love that. But a lot of students here just have the iPad Mac combo. Other things I would do are make sure that you are good to go with travel. Travel is a big thing. So I would take out a travel credit card. I would take out more loans. It's going to cost way more than you think it's going to. So take out more loans or credit card, whatever you need to, like figure out your finances. And I would get a travel credit card, and I would get one that gives you global entry and TSA pre-check, because that's been a godsend with how much I travel. I have the Amex Platinum. I really love that card because I travel a lot. I like luxury travel, and you get way really amazing perks with it. So yeah, that's what I would do before coming. Some other product recommendations: you're gonna need a robe because you're gonna be tired and stressed all the time, so you're definitely gonna need a robe. I would totally get a Two Collective robe from Alexis Barber. So there we go. All right, I think that's the end of this. I gave you so much information. I'm so late for everything I need to do today. I love, love, love talking about this. If you are headed to Wharton in the fall, please DM me on Instagram, ask me any questions. I'll send you back a voice note. I love this place. I'm having a great time, and I can't wait to welcome all the new students here in the fall. And in upcoming episodes, you can expect to hear from some of my friends that I have made while I'm here at Wharton, and then we'll get into the summertime. So really excited to have more guests on the show. I now know what I need to do to make sure the podcast is ready to go, so I'm really excited for that. But I love you guys so much, and don't forget, you're too smart to not love yourself.